Two Words by Diane Sims. That's me. The crinkly paper bunched underneath my bottom, and the dingy room was dim with one light bulb. He sat with legs crossed while she perched on the rusting chair. Turning my eyes to the doctor's, I spit two words, "Fuck you." And uttering that expletive was the moment that changed my life. It was a late June evening with young leaves whispering at the window. I was 17, a good Baptist girl who loved school, skiing, water skiing, taught Sunday school, and had never dreamt of uttering such vulgarities. "You have multiple sclerosis, will be in a wheelchair very soon, bedridden by 27 and dead by 35, the specialist in the suit had so suavely lipped off. She, the obsequious resident, retorted, "You have your head screwed on, right? So we're telling you without your parents present." Lucky me. Uttering those two words of rebellion changed me from an adolescent to an adult, determined to fight those deafening deadlines. That night, I sat with the nurses in the Toronto hospital wing, drinking Earl Grey tea and munching stale barbecue corn chips. Wisps of ward doctor gossip crept into my web of dread. My parents' reaction, the list of imminent physical losses, friends' reactions. What shadows, what stumbles were next? Geez, would I ever even have a boyfriend? The next morning, my parents left the doctor's cubicle with grim faces and eyes averted. In their 60s, they were devastated. I had a brother with severe Down syndrome, now me. Mom, close to my sister who was 8 months pregnant, stayed in Toronto with Karen. Dad and I flew home that night to Northern Ontario. His only words on the airplane were a menacing, "Don't you dare tell your aunts." In his family, sin caused disease, hence his shame. Friends met me with bouquets of balloons, flowers, and a car. Dad left me and vanished for a week on a bender. So with $5 in my wallet and the hidden house key, I learned to get by with the help of my friends. My best friend and I arranged for meds to arrive from Arizona, cajoled an ancient doctor into treating me without hospitalization, and with the old red VW bug full on $3 gas, Cindy and I bought burgers and headed for camp. Asphalt fever, her father said we had. It was 1975. The Vietnam War was finally ending, and mine was just beginning. To fight the disease, I had to get strong. To fight my parents' shame and dismissal of my hopes, I had to be strong. How? Long before visualization became trendy, I saw the MS as a shadow that at times looms larger than I am, just as at day's end. But I trust it will recede just as morning breaks. Humor helps. When God was handing out eggs, I thought he said legs. So I quipped, "I'll take mine scrambled, please." My parents wanted me to finish high school and stay home, essentially waiting for God. They were at a loss. But the Bible says, "For when I am weak, then I am strong." Through more mobility and vision exacerbations, I finished 2 bachelor's degrees, then a master's degree. I worked at a large newspaper the 10th year anniversary of my diagnosis. That evening, fellow reporters and I rented a van for an all-night pub crawl. First deadline missed amid disco dancing. A senior newspaper editor told me I'd never advance if the info that I had MS was exposed. 2 words. There remains such discrimination against people physically challenged, an assumption that if the body is impaired, so is the mind. I've advocated for employment equity and participated in every eligible MS research project. One paper dubbed me the indefatigable Ms. Sims. I worked for sundry national print broadcast media, finally becoming corporate editor of a government crown corporation. The age 45 drop dead deadline passed. Phew! 2 words. 11 months later, my annus horribilis happened, to quote Queen Elizabeth. It was 1996. Years battling MS would stand me in good stead. In January, my sister Karen, who had been diagnosed with MS a few years previously, died painfully of ovarian cancer. I held my weeping mum in my lap when Karen passed one dreary Sunday afternoon. Our last aunt died, and I held mum's frail hand in church that March afternoon. A massive stroke killed mum in May. She unconsciously caressed my thumb before leaving. The Friday of October, Thanksgiving weekend, I landed in emergency surgery at midnight in tremendous angst. I remember thanking the medical team before being anesthetized. A huge tumor was untangled from my abdomen. Hey, I just gave birth to a 10-pound turkey this weekend, I softly teased the next afternoon. 4 days later, ovarian cancer was confirmed. I was given a year to live. 2 words. Ensuing months brought 6 increasingly serious surgeries. I continued to thank medical teams in three different cities. Other two words joined my battle plans. Hold on, hold fast, hold hope, hold hands. I'm no Pollyanna. Complications worsened the MS and increased the pains in my legs. My body is a cancer-scarred world map with constant aching. One November night in a hospital room far from home, I crept into Mum's intangible arms and begged her to whisk me away. She didn't. Yet joy and gratitude have become my touchstones. The next year, my first book was published in three countries with a national book tour. When a brother looked at the first copy, he wept. Mum would be so proud. I hope so. By that time, I was on the board of directors for the fledgling Canadian Ovarian Cancer Association. I fought nationally alongside women, physicians, and scientists against this absolutely insidious cancer that whispers. There is no early detection tool. Physicians have little training in this leading, very deadly female cancer, and women too often dismiss the signs. Education is key. My next book was the first published on ovarian cancer for women in Canada. An international pharmaceutical company bought copies to send to all OBGYNs across the country. A Paris pharmaceutical company bought the publishing rights and distributed copies to all OBGYNs in France. Book royalties have gone to MS and ovarian cancer research, and most recently, tuberculosis treatment in South Africa. Since then, the cancer has recurred, with many medical and surgical end dates. I am repeatedly told to prepare. Thoughtfully, two words come to mind. As a songster sings, I have had the chance to live like I was dying. Years rich in joy and gratitude. I never wanted another 17-year-old girl nor another 38-year-old woman told what I was. It is a few decades later now, and that girl hasn't been given that death sentence. Thanks to a plethora of MS-arresting drugs in the early stages. However, it is not yet true for that woman. Soon, I pray. Adversity does not build character. It reveals it, wrote James Lang Allen, as a dear friend often reminds me. I've walked, fallen down, got up, done it all over again. These years, I rock and roll in my wheelchair and keep on dancing in my soul. Remember two words, choose them wisely, and keep fighting. Thank you.